Clearly, Stan's not here with us.
Stan could not be here. Welcome to episode. Oh, what is this? 2/3?
2.1, 3.1, 5.1, apparently. I don't know.
Episode 2 and 3 of Monster Chiller Horror Theater on Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, Season 3. So, we are returning to talk about two movies at the same time because we have fallen prey to the curse of the mummy. The two movies we'll be talking about are Dracula versus Frankenstein and Tale of the Mummy. And unfortunately, if you open the mummy's tomb, you will die, or in our case, you will lose the recording from two episodes that you recorded. So over 2 hours of material, it is gone. It is into the ether, an offering to the podcast gods.
But Brad might have taken it, though.
Brad might have taken it.
I'm blaming Brad on this one.
At least taking Stan.
That's what makes me sad about it, is that we finally got Brad onto an episode to talk about Dracula versus Frankenstein, and then we lost the stupid episode. And to make matters worse, I didn't write down his scores, so even know that.
Let's keep in mind, like I say, Stan's not here because he's currently, I believe, exploring a mummy's tomb or something like that with Brad. But I'd like to say, without any question, those are the two best episodes we've ever done. And forever will do, and nobody will ever hear them. But we had fun. Screw you all.
This is your fill-in host, Jim Cotta, coming to you on this episode of Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. I am joined by Nick Boxer.
Greetings and salutations.
And the jocular Jack Hall.
Jocular Jack Hall, I like that. I like that. We're going to keep that for a couple episodes before I replace it.
So we watched one of the Dracula versus Frankensteins and discovered much too late that there are at least three Dracula versus Frankenstein.
So we watched them all.
So I think we ended up watching them all. I can't remember which one we talked about.
The one with Lon Chaney was the one that we actually scored. And I guess we're going to give the scores real quickly, because this is just a mini episode, just so people understand the scoring, because we're not going to lose those scores. And who knows, maybe we'll go back in time when it's fresh enough and actually do full things of the shows again. But I mean, we're probably just going to run through these quickly, score these things, and right? Isn't that the plan, Jim?
Yeah. I don't know how you want to run through. I've got the scores in front of me. I don't know if you guys even remember what you scored.
No clue whatsoever.
I don't have notes. I don't write anything down.
A week ago when we did this.
A week? This is more like 7 years ago.
Messed with the scoring. So I definitely want to hear what I do. What I scored this film.
All right. So Dracula versus Frankenstein. This is a wacky little film. It is the last film by Lon Chaney Jr. The final released film. It's hippies. It's eventually Frankenstein's monster. It's Dracula. Nick,
It was a biker movie. They halfway through decided to change into a Dracula and vampire and Frankenstein movie, but they didn't throw away all the footage from the biker stuff because shit, they'd filmed it. So they just kind of mixed it all together, and that's why also there's a character who's a serial killer played by Lon Chaney who has nothing to do with Frankenstein or Dracula. This movie was awesome.
I believe the plot had to do with an ancestor of the of Dr. Frankenstein, who is now running a boardwalk attraction, trying to resurrect the dead. He teams up briefly, sort of, with Dracula, because Dracula figures that if he can cure death, he'll become the most powerful entity out there because he will gain some immunity to the sun. Yeah, I'm doing as well here as I did last time.
Why was Frank saying this again?
The plot wasn't really all that.
That's not what I remember. What I remember is it's some long ancestor of Frankenstein who has an island full of women and Cameron Mitchell.
That'd be a different movie.
What?
Entirely.
you're describing Frankenstein Island. You had three different Dracula versus Frankenstein movies to choose from, and you chose none of them.
Should we talk about the one that we said would have scored even higher, though, than this one? Like, one would have scored way low. One of the Frankensteins that was like a Spanish
one
or something.
Come on, this one has a pink Frankenstein in it. We have to stick with it.
I think this is the worst looking Frankenstein monster I ever saw. That's true.
I'm looking back at my notes. I described this creature as it looks like puffed pastry.
Yeah, that's right.
That was my
notes. What a concept. Like a I wish I could look back and remember anything I said.
It's like a paper mache kind of Frankenstein monster.
All right, let's quickly score. Let's give the scores.
We were really closely grouped on this film. We got Stan 7, Nick 6, Jack 7, and me 8 for schlock appeal. So in a really tight grouping there. More heart than budget.
I actually believe the schlock appeal. I gave that merely on the title alone, really.
Yeah, but then you'd have to give those other movies the same score on that.
Exact same score. more heart than budget, Stan 5.
I'm just thinking something. More heart than budget. Can we rename that if we have schlock appeal? Can we rename that schlock value? Because schlock value is a thing. So schlock, you see what I did there?
Yeah, it'll make it. That should make it much clearer for the listener.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
And then we could call it schlock the fuck moments.
Or what the schlock would probably be better. Thank you. Though
all right,
prefer yours.
More heart than budget. A bit of difference there. Stan 5, Nick 5, Jack 8, and Jim 6.
Yeah, I do remember this sort of being, you know, a factory film. You know, independent producer just throwing everything he has at the wall and see what sticks.
Well, I think I scored higher based on the fact that they really did get some, like, really cool B-movie icons. There wasn't just Lon Chaney. There was the other guy whose name I forget now, but who was in, Son of Frankenstein and stuff in there. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but, it's pretty clear all the higher the icons, as you call them, were pretty well wasted during the production of this film.
Tamplin especially was totally wasted in this film.
Russ Tamplin
was left over from the biker movie that it was originally going to be.
Yeah,
and so he was given very little to do.
It was a sequel to another biker movie. And don't get me wrong, I'm pretty sure Lon Chaney worked for $1.75 and a peanut butter sandwich. But still, I think that's why I scored it higher. I think. Because otherwise I can't justify why I'd give this an 8.
What the fuck moments is really where this movie shined. So Stan 9, Nick 7, Jack 8, and Jim 8. So yeah, high numbers there.
You have randomly appearing little people, a pink Frankenstein monster, a hippie Dracula.
There's a 2 minute floor show from Vegas that has very little to do with the rest of the film.
Yes, it has nothing to do with anything, and 2 minutes more like 20. They went on. That's not like pretty close to how they opened it. I think I remember giving it that high for two things mainly. The number one, the striped pants that one of the good people that is one of the hippies is wearing. This guy, like these striped pants, and I know it was the 70s or whatever, but dude, or 69 when it was filmed or whatever, but dude, and Dracula's voice was insane.
Dracula in this film was great. He was like the money guy. He put money up for the film and they made him Dracula. He's only in like three movies. He put money up for all of them.
That's why they're called money marks.
Memorable moments. This movie did not score well, and as you're hearing us try to unpack it 3 or 4 weeks after having seen it, you can tell the memorable level of this movie is a little lower.
But compared to the next film we're going to talk about that we lost, we remember really well.
Adjusting our scores based on how much we remember a month later. So memorable moments. Stan 3, Nick 4, Jack 5, and Jim 3, which might be a little generous.
And I do remember the 5 music entirely for the song and dance number at the beginning. Like, I'll never forget that.
Yeah, and it is memorable, but it's not memorable in this movie.
No, it should have been
Remember Jerry Lewis movie number, or something. But I didn't remember it was in this movie. Because
that's fair. Yeah.
I'll never forget that it was in this movie, and it was exactly what they wanted it to be. I believe that woman was like the producer's, girlfriend or something like that too. So I mean, might have been a little
star of the movie.
Yeah, but I think she was also like the producer's girlfriend, like in real. I'm pretty sure it was something like that. I think there was a lot of nepotism going on in this film.
I don't have a problem with that because I mean. Among the actors, and I'm using quotation marks, which on a podcast is probably a bad thing, the actors in this, she did an admirable job with what she had to work with.
And what about the cult leader guy that her character fell in love with? None of us have mentioned this guy yet.
Oh, you mean the guy in the turtleneck?
Turtleneck guy.
Yeah. I just figured he was in all movies from the 70s and just let it go.
There is some great stuff in this movie. Like just this, it is a really goofy movie. I in my notes here, I do have my favorite line from the film was, "My sister and I had been orphaned for a very long time." She's like 35.
Well, that's right. Her sister had gone missing, and that's why she showed up.
That was the crux of the story. Yeah,
that was the mystery. Her sister was missing, and they talked to a cop.
This is the movie with the useless cop.
Yes.
So the we've got a Vegas showgirl.
It's coming back to us now.
Not a showgirl. She's a singer, and she gets a telegram from the missing persons that says your sister's still missing. It doesn't say she is. It doesn't give any new information. It's just an update to tell her she has not been found.
Yeah. So she goes looking for him, and the police officer's like, leave it to us. And then she goes and looks for him.
Yeah. Because the cop's never seen again. Yeah, it takes her about an hour and a half.
Well, no, he shows up, I think, when the bikers show up or something like that at some point. Because like this movie hates hippies. Dude, that was one thing these producers did not trust.
What was that terrific line? She chose to live with a bunch of hippies. It's a hangout for pushers and white slavery operators.
Something like that.
Yeah, I believe the cop didn't have a lot of complimentary things to say about the hippies.
No. He did not.
He represented the producers. How about the fact that in this movie, the Dracula and there, it's like a final fight between Dracula and Frankenstein. Frankenstein finally shows up like 75 minutes into the movie or whatever. And then like it's a fight and Dracula just like rips his head off, just decapitates, just literally rips his spine right out. You're like, dude, that was the fight? Like, this wasn't exactly Frankenstein, what was it again, Conquers the World, that fight.
Now, wait a minute. There was lots of Frankenstein and lots of Dracula, but there wasn't lots of Frankenstein's monster. Let's be clear. This wasn't Frankenstein's monster versus Dracula. That's an entirely different movie that's probably in, you know, Swedish or something that we didn't watch.
All right, finish off our score so we can start talking about the other Frankenstein versus
Dracula. All right, so... crazy concept. Stan 7, Nick 7, Jack 5, Jim 5. I think we covered some of the wackiness of this movie.
Yeah. Calling anything in this movie like a cohesive concept. I mean, it is a concept, but a cohesive concept, no. But yeah, there's a lot of concepts, and it's pretty crazy.
I don't know if even concept is fully the right term. Like, yeah. Anyways, get up. But it's way more of a concept than the next one. Come on, let's get to it.
All right, so this did get two of the secret modifiers. Every season we have six secret modifiers. This got two of them. It got one we call the monster cop-out because we do see Frankenstein incredibly late into this film, Frankenstein's monster. And it does get a bonus for the what we're calling the 10% kill shot, where we have someone killed in the first one-tenth of the film. So it gets a bonus one for that. Giving it a grand total of 61.5, bringing
in about.
Is that
Lon Chaney's character who just killed? I can't remember. He was like a mute. Who like what? Did he kill somebody early on? He was like a mute serial killer. I can't remember why.
I bet you the people working on the film couldn't tell you.
Poor well, dude. I'm pretty clear. Lon Chaney couldn't speak at that point. So.
I think Lon Chaney had had. He had throat cancer or something, isn't it? Like yeah, he died of throat cancer,
something like
so,
that.
So yeah, he probably couldn't speak at all on film by that point.
Well, he was not doing well, and neither was the other guy who, like I say, who's the other who's in one of the other Frankenstein movies or something like that. Yeah. I can't remember his name, but that other actor was apparently even sicker than Lon Chaney during it.
Yeah, he's wheelchair bound for the whole film.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, no, he was, and so it was really tough on him when they brought him back for reshoots when they decided to put Frankenstein and Dracula in after having filmed the other movie. It was really hard on him because he was really in poor health. But yeah, Lon Chaney Jr., one of the all-time greats. So it's
oh yeah, not absolutely. A great I've been watching the Universal films. Oh,
he was
and
awesome.
So many great performances.
Yeah, he was terrific. And so the other one is the Dracula versus Frankenstein, where I don't think that one though. It also had all the other monsters pretty much. And there was a lot of fighting, though I don't know that Dracula and Frankenstein ever fought from what I remember. But it was something about there was aliens who had come down from another planet and they wanted to somehow get Dracula or Frankenstein so they could somehow take their powers so they'd become even more powerful so they could conquer Earth more easily or something. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah. That one's also been released as Assignment Terror. It starred Michael Rennie. Yeah, it's a wacky one because it has the mummy, it has Frankenstein's monster,
it's insane.
It has like the mad scientist type character. It's Michael Rennie's the bad guy in it, which is unusual for Rennie. I mean, Rennie's leading man.
Yeah, he played what was the name of the character in the benevolent alien in The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Is it Klaatu or is Klaatu the robot?
Klaatu, I think Klaatu's the robot, but either way, he played the lead. Yeah, in that movie, that's probably his best known role. And he was this movie. Like I say, I think would even out Boogaloo. Now we have no excuse probably to wait like a year and watch them again and see what we would score them and put them in another season because you aren't getting a full, but. Maybe we will never watch this again. Actually, that's a good choice.
I love that one. That was the one I preferred out of the bunch.
I would volunteer for Frankenstein's Island any day of the week.
Oh well, that I've watched three times since we recorded. It's the most amazing movie.
All right. Now we want to get into. Now we're going to jump into episode three. We'll just continue on. Now the next one is the newest film we have covered. This is the episode that the movie that we are blaming.
The newest film at all.
Newest like, film we will have covered in the first three seasons of the pod. Yeah.
Oh, what year did it come out? Have we broken the 2000s yet?
No, 1998, I think this one is.
Oh, just right up against it.
We will see some next season, but which we haven't announced yet, but we've got them lined up. 1998's Russell Mulcahy classic, Tale of the Mummy. Nick, do you have a summary of Tale of the Mummy?
I believe it took place in England.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the bulk of the action.
Yeah, that's it.
That's his stereotype.
I'm really hoping I didn't score high on the memorable chart, because quite frankly, I remember there was a villain switcheroo near the end. Spoilers, I'm sorry.
Dude. Oh, yeah, that terrible ending now that you mention it.
But the film
bad guy wins.
Film opens with Christopher Lee.
And the greatest turn to the camera growl of all time. That is what I remember from this movie. Somebody else is going to have to summarize this.
It had Jason Scott Lee. It was awesome. Who's awesome. Just not in this film. But he is in movies like Dragon, the Bruce Lee Story, and Map of the Human Heart, and all these other stuff. Even Time Cop 2. And he's going to be in the upcoming live-action Mulan movie as the villain.
The film does open Christopher Lee as who is searching for the mummy. They find the mummy's tomb. A bunch of people die when they find the mummy's tomb in a really graphic way. Early CG effects, which are a little silly at times. And then a generation passes, and his granddaughter is leading the charge to find the tomb again.
That's right. They cast two women as the two female leads who looked almost the exact same. And nobody realized that would be a bad thing. I remember that now.
We do have the lovely and talented Gerard Butler, who is killed off in the first three scenes, in the third scene he's in the film, and does not return. I kept waiting for him to be the bad guy at the end, and he's forgetting that this is 1998 and he's not he's not a name actor yet. He's killed off, and that's the end of his character. I'm sure that now this movie is released as Gerard Butler in Tale of the Mummy.
Most likely. Because it was Marion DeBoe was one of the other women, and then somebody else who had a career. Quite a few people had some sort of career out of this. A few, you know? This movie is really like one of those movies that's not bad enough to be Boogaloo and not good enough to be watchable. But when I started breaking it down with you guys, I did have fun doing it. Like, you know? Like, we were able to find some laughs that we didn't find watching it. And I think a lot of it was the creature at the end. Like, the mummy creature at the end when it shows up and the CG is like... What did your notes say there, Jim?
For which part?
For the creature, what he looked like. How would you describe him? We all described him differently.
Well, one of the things I actually liked
terrible.
About this
like,
movie.
It was an awful creature looking. At the end.
One of the things I really liked is that for most of the film, it's not actually a full mummy. It's the wrappings of the mummy, which means it's a pile of rags that's chasing people around for like most of the film.
And that helped for the early CG. Because this movie came out because this movie, they got it to the market before the Steven Soderbergh, Brendan Fraser mummy, which was what they were trying to do. Just beat it out to the market and get some of the hype of that.
I described it in my notes as the creepy sex doll mummy.
There you go.
That was what I called it.
Like, you cannot.
The kills are great, and really there's one scene where the pile of rags, which is the bad guy of the piece for most of the film, sneaks into an apartment building by sneaking onto an elevator and then off of an elevator.
Yes.
I thought it was an escalator for some reason.
Yes, that's right. He couldn't. They were like, well, he can't get up, but he takes the elevator because he's wondering how to get up. Meanwhile, he's like crawling up the sides of buildings and also going through pipes and all this stuff.
The maid comes by.
Maid
comes by, cleans up the pile of rags, and then it stops on a floor and the pile of rags hops out of the garbage bin and goes about its killing business.
Yes, there was.
Yeah, that's my favorite part of the movie. That's my favorite part of any movie ever. It's just the best scene ever put on film. Nick, do you want to add anything? I'll just run, and then I'll run off the scores.
Let's just go to this. Oh, you said Nick.
No, I'm...
All right.
He doesn't remember anything. How is he going to add anything? I mean, you notice he remembers nothing. Every single thing we've said so far, his response has been, oh, yeah.
No, I'm sorry. What I remember most about this film is after we discovered that the footage had gone missing, I remember thinking, I'm not watching that crap again.
All right, so
this
Schlock
is one we are not re-reviewing for you guys out of here.
Schlock Appeal, not. Stan gave it 4, Nick 3, Jack 3, Jim 3. A little rough on that one. More Heart Than Budget, even rougher. Stan 1, Nick 1, Jack 3, Jim 3.
Actually, for those CGI effects, I'm surprised they didn't score more. I should have scored it more. But then again, the rest of the movie.
Monday morning quarter riding in there.
Yeah.
What the fuck moments. Does make up some points here. So Stan 6, Nick 3, Jack 7, and Jim 9. Because I was really taken with that pile of rags, I'll be honest. That's, that pile of rags was all of those points.
It's a pretty strong. It's a pretty strong argument.
You know, a year from now, when I find out you've been watching rag pornography, I'll know where that particular kink started.
Oh, I do understand your favorite superhero is Ragman.
That's yeah, it's a good character. Yeah. Drawn by Rags Morales, if
that's
possible.
Right.
Yeah,
that's right.
While listening to Ragtime.
Of course. Of course.
Memorable moments. Stan gave it a 4. Nick gave it a 10. Jack gave it a 10. I'm lying. Nick gave it a 3. And Jack gave it a 4, which is seems now a little generous. And Jim gave it a 2. And actually, I probably remember more of this film than either of you combined.
I do remember pretty much the entire Christopher Lee, and that's worth the 4. Because he is great, and you know, he's not in it long. He dies right away and never shows up again. But
dies well, though. Like, he really dies well.
He does die
well. When Christopher Lee is more memorable in Jocks than he is in a Tales of the Mummy, Curse of the Mummy, whatever the hell this movie is called.
Tale of the Mummy. And specifically singular. It is
Tale of the Mummy. We're not making another one, even though the bad guy wins.
It's not Tales of the Mummy. It is not a tale, just Tale of the Mummy.
I now remember that there was the other guy who was also one of the archaeologists or whatever in the beginning, and he turns he turns weird, and then he gets this tattoo on the back of his head, and they painted it on. I remember they couldn't paint it on straight, and it was like a little off kilter. I remember that being one of the things that really stuck to me about this film. So, yeah, little things.
All right, crazy concept. Stan 2, Nick 4, Jack 2, Jim 1.
Why did we even bother bringing this movie up and telling people what we scored it? Like, this movie is a talk about nothing.
Completionism. Something's got to be at the bottom of the pile. this only got one of the secret modifiers. It got the hide the monster modifier, which is a -1 because it takes forever to get the mummy into the movie called Tale of the Mummy.
But damn, when it shows up.
It's something when it does show up.
Like, I cannot describe what, again, what creepy sex doll.
Creepy sex doll mummy is what I called it, yeah.
I don't
it
know.
Looks like a blow-up doll. Yeah, it's
how much are you into creepy sex dolls that you would want to fuck that?
I don't know. It's covered in rags.
Man,
that's I don't know if you've. I
we
don't
all
know if
had different names. We all described
episode,
it as something. It was. It was. We all described it as something amazing during the show, and now I can't remember. I don't even remember a lot of details. I remember it sort of having like the goat legs or whatever, and that's really all I remember, and just that it looked terrible.
Yeah, well, because the
and
idea
they
is
were clearly
they...
proud. They didn't know it looked terrible. They were clearly proud on it. Yeah. They kept it on screen a long time.
Yeah, well, that was the concept was is that the pile of rags was absorbing life force and slowly rebuilding the mummy, but then at some point it absorbed a dog, so it got some dog DNA, for lack of a better explanation,
so it's Alien
into
3?
The mummy.
So it's Alien
3? Yeah, it's Alien 3. Like, you know, the best, if you're going to copy the Alien movies, you should start with Alien 3. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That's the one.
Makes sense.
Because no one's going to notice for the lawsuit.
No. Well, it's because everyone's still complaining that the original Fincher cut where he copied a cow didn't happen. Cause I believe it was a cow
like
a bull or something. Yeah.
Like, yeah. The company that made this movie would be still alive to be sued. after this movie came out.
And this was released in the theaters.
So with the secret modifier, this one came in at a tragic 33 out of 100.
So is that the lowest score of all of them?
It is one of, if not the lowest score. It's not winning any Boogaloo awards of merit or anything, that's for sure. it is one of the one, if not the lowest score.
But it was a good time talking about it. Not this time, but before.
Well, you have to make your own fun. That's what's important.
That's right. All right. Well, I think that's about it, right? I think that's nothing else to say. Let's wrap it up and record a couple more of these and wrap up this season and get on to a season where not as much can go wrong.
All right. Well, thank
you. Other stuff has gone wrong. There's been just in general.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this speed round episode.
Seriously.
Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
We're never doing Halloween anything again because clearly, like, it's cursed. It's time of season. It's like Michael Myers' producer's cut cursed.
You can check in with the Octagon on WeTalkPodcast.com. Follow us on Instagram, Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. And you can follow the WeTalk guys, WeTalk Podcasts, on Facebook and Twitter. From me.
But really, just go
Jim?
To Electric Boogaloo on Instagram. That's the one.
That's the one. That's where the fun stuff goes.
That's where the fun stuff goes. Yeah. And subscribe all over the place and tell your friends. And tell us what movies you'd want us to watch and you want to do
please.
And whatever, blah, blah, blah. Give your reviews on these movies and don't watch Tale of the Mummy, though.
And review the podcast, but not based on this episode. Base it on a different episode. The next episode will be Frankenstein Island. I think you should base it on that one.
Oh, God, yeah.
Frankenstein Island coming up. And spoilers, it's pretty great.
Yes. Balloon enthusiasts.